Hey, what is up and hello to everyone out there on this beautiful day. I know it's an audio podcast, but it's awful nice outside this cell. How you boys doing today?
Man, super duper.
Groggy.
Groggy.
The fresh air outside of the Leviathan is nice.
What? Already, dude? You just can't help yourself. We are the besties at Edgy Stances. How y'all doing? I know we know you can't answer back, but still. We come together every week to discuss what interests us in the world of gaming. And we hope it interests you, too. I am Jacob. That's Best Jacob Alive, too. And I am joined by the Eagle.
What's good?
And Brent, the Oldest Crow.
Howdy.
Hello, Brent.
Hey.
Yeah. Got some sleep, bud?
So, yeah.
I know. I'm fumes.
Yeah. So this is a going to be kind of a memorial show for Emperor Kallus and his dead ass.
Dude! Got him.
Get him.
Got him. We
GGs,
told him.
GGs, Kallus.
But he don't hear me, though. So we went back and we got... So for all y'all out there who listen to us every week, thank you. And he is dead, so we can go back to our regular format of show and not talk about Destiny constantly. But you heard that right. We knocked out the raid. And that's a pretty big deal around here. We can all carry on with our lives. Somewhat.
Hold our loved ones again.
I can start eating dinner with my girlfriend again.
Mm-hmm. In what could be only considered... as normalcy. But once you have something like the itch, you know.
Gotta scratch it.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to get rid of. So, yeah, sounds like everybody's doing good. I suppose we should just get... Oh, yeah, by the way, let me say one more time this at the top of the show. We have we do some notes. We're going to be talking about some... just a little bit of raid talk just to kind of, you know, settle down all that Destiny stuff. I'm going to talk about some... games coming out with the subscription services for both Sony and Xbox. And a little piece about our perspective on games and those games that changed our perspectives. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that some overachievers as always. Yep.
Yeah.
So let's get right to it, I suppose.
Well, yeah, just looking at some news stories. I know we talked about some Destiny coming out the gate here. But they've been in the news recently with some possible balance changes in their first kind of tuning patch for the game.
Now, what is a tuning patch?
Well, it's where the...
Is that legendary?
It's an exotic patch. you get them a couple weeks after launch. No, but occasionally in a game like this, like a live game as a service, they need to tune some things, balance some of the weapons and some of the abilities. Specifically in this first patch, they said, quote, they are looking closely at the Mita multi-tool.
What? I don't get it. Well, boys, like, what's the big deal? Like, am I just... I'd like to think I'm okay at this game. I don't really see, like, yes... let me just nerd out on everybody a second here, sorry. Yes, I know you can keep your motion sensor up while you are scoped. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, just getting that out there. But, I mean, what is the big deal behind it?
Well, there's lots of different perks on the different guns, and, you know, the Mita has some great... perks that roll along with it. You know, like you said, the radar staying active while you look down the scope, the knockback potential of it, the range. You know, it's a great all-around gun. And Bungie said, coming out of the first Trials of the Nine, when they first launched that a couple weeks ago, it said that it was used by 93% of players in matches.
Wow.
Yeah. So, no joke. There's...
Say what you want, but metadata don't lie.
Yeah, and I think that's what they're looking at with the patch to maybe shake it up just a little bit so that you'll see some other guns being used, and that would probably vary, you know, the playstyle that you see in Trials, because, mm-hmm. you know, I can speak from experience going in the first week, it was definitely a lot of the same shenanigans game to game.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's interesting to see that they're going to be, you know, balancing some things this early. Hopefully they don't and do anything too drastic, because I think it's really good so far.
Yeah, see, I mean, my thing is, like, with the Mita, like, I feel like I was using it just as much in Destiny 1 in PvP and so was everyone else, but like there was no, you know, crying over it in Destiny 1. I just don't get why it's such a big deal in Destiny 2.
I don't know. I think it definitely is a standout so far. You know, yeah. Maybe there isn't, you know, another exotic to challenge it at that level.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I also use Hardlight a lot in Destiny 1, and then Zala Supercell as well, but those two exotics. Yeah.
I prefer Board with Nail in it.
Mm-hmm.
Till that got nerfed.
But yeah, so that should be coming soon, so keep your eyes on that. They've got more maintenance as usual coming up Tuesday, which will be tomorrow as we're recording, so be prepared to be without it.
Hopefully
for
not
hours.
Soon, because I like the multi tool as is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So if you equip like it with the mini tool, you go fast. It's okay to be fast. It's okay.
Well,
another interesting thing in the news is we saw the Eagle this week. You put up on the Instagram these nice passes, these codes, these key codes, which are they still up? I think they're still up.
Yeah, we've still got a few. And
I'm not salty, but come on, guys. Like, this is free stuff. Are you
get
there?
Your candy.
Is this thing on? Hello?
Yeah, what Jacob's talking about is we have some technical alpha codes for Project 1v1 from Gearbox Software.
Mm. Brent, you actually dipped your toes into this one, didn't you?
Yeah, I played a couple matches in 1v1. Can we talk about this? Is it legal now?
We can talk. You know, we're under NDA to not show any like screenshots or capture any video or stuff. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
So
I didn't know it was so serious.
Yeah.
Should I put on my sunglasses? Should I put my ears on?
It's one of those things that asks nicely. So you know,
I'll put them on.
Yeah,
you know,
poke the bear. Yeah. But
hold on, let me put them on before you continue. Okay,
so,
continue.
You know, Brent, what's the pitch for the game, right? It's kind of like a collectible card game meets first-person shooter.
So what I took away from it is it's a first-person shooter game. I wouldn't necessarily say a collective card game, but the quote-unquote cards kind of come into play of that'll be like your gun or whatever certain like super you have or like abilities. So you can kind of have a loadout. Kind of like I didn't play Battlefront. The newest one, but it kind of seemed like that, to where like you could have like a certain loadout with these like certain cards and like different abilities. Isn't that how Battlefront worked?
Yeah, you know, the cards were kind of almost like kill streaks, rewards, you know, some type of things.
Okay, yeah, it was like that, but it doesn't work like kill streaks. But so it's called 1v1 because it's only 1v1. You're in a very small arena versus one other player, and then you guys just kind of go head-to-head. Really, really fast-paced Twitch first-person shooter. That's how I would describe it.
Was there any, like, movement abilities, like, you know, jumping or wall running, or was it just kind of, like, stand on the ground and shoot each other?
No wall. Well, yeah, so, like, you can jump fairly high, and you can, you know, climb pretty high up on the on this arena you have, there's definitely a lot of places to hide or just kind of like ambush the other player. My thing, it was at least what I was trying to exploit is whenever the other opponent jumped, there was a clear audible like sound to like let you know that they're jumping. So I tried to jump as little as possible while he was jumping across the map so I could kind of, you know, stalk him and get the best shot on him that way. That's how I played, even though he still beat me like 12-8. but yeah,
that's cool. I mean, do you see some charm in there somewhere, or you know, is it
I see my 12-year-old self playing Halo 2 going 1v1 me, bro.
And then
jumping on this game and really showing who's who. But I mean, honestly, obviously, this is for somebody. I don't think it's me. Like Lawbreakers, you know, it's just a fast-paced arena shooter. Mm-hmm. I don't know if people are calling for this. People, you know, people are up in arms saying we need an awesome 1v1 only game.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, Jake, do you remember when Titanfall 2 came out? They had this Colosseum mode in there that kind of had this kind of mysterious air about it, and you got entrance via tickets. And I remember going in there, and it's like a 1v1 arena. Yeah. And as novel as it was, you know, I was like, I don't know if I want to spend a lot of time here.
It's pretty tough, man. I didn't have an easy time getting anywhere. And it had a whole, like, system on top of it based on your wins.
Yeah. I mean, I like it. I just don't know if I want the stress of, like, you know, 1v1 shooters like that.
Yeah. Like, it's my thing. Like, if I'm not, like, super into PvP much anymore. But when I do, you know, like, if we're on Destiny or we're playing whatever multiplayer game together, then I, like, you know, I can enjoy it. You know, you're having fun with your friends. But this way, it's just, I don't know, you're just kind of sitting there stressed out trying to kill this other person. Yeah. And so, I don't know. It was just more stressful to me.
I don't know if it's silly to say, but maybe I'm not really prepared to back up this thought, but, like, I just don't really necessarily see 1v1 as, like, a true measurement of somebody's skill in a shooter anyway.
Totally not.
Because it's so with, like, complicated now, your ability to operate in a team, you know, kind of, I think, takes a little bit more skill than just a collection of exploits and tricks and stuff that you've seen.
Oh yeah, totally.
Somebody do to you, you know. But
yeah, like
anyway, I mean, whatever. I'm just saying. Yeah, it just seems a little too extreme. Like I like threes, I like doubles, but like just nothing but duels.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know. I was like, it totally went over my head. I was like, all right, is there like a team? It's called 1v1.
Okay.
No, it's in the name.
It's in the name.
I mean, it's amazing how much I've had to remind myself that. Because it just seems like such common sense. But, you know, I don't know. It seems to be a time that, you know, you can put out kind of like a, I don't know, I don't want to say like Maverick type of, you know, indie game or whatnot. But, you know,
well, let
the
me
digital
ask you
marketplace,
this.
You can try out all kinds of stuff.
Let me ask you this. You know, like, I know it's not the same thing at all, but, you know, like a fighting game like Tekken or Street Fighter, you know, you know, like it's a 1v1 style game.
Mm-hmm.
They have a story mode in those games sometimes. Is this a game that you could see that working in, or would it strictly be competitive?
The time I spent, no, not in the slightest. I mean, the most I could see is like some sort of like little background lore about each character that you can be able to choose, and like the abilities, like where they would come from, the lore behind that. But story mode, no, I doubt it. I don't see it. But then again, this is like super pre-alpha, right?
Yeah, this is way early on.
Yeah,
I've never seen a story mode work in a 1v1 game anyway, like a fighter.
I'll say that would be neat though. Like, I don't know how that would work. It's like you're just dropped into arena with like a little cutscene of who you're fighting right before.
Yeah. Right. Who knows?
It'd be silly, but I don't know. Maybe they can make it work. It'd be a first for me though.
Yeah. Well, again, super alpha stage.
Yeah. And we've still got some codes, and you know, if you check out our Instagram or Twitter at Edgy Stances, leave a comment on those posts. If we've still got a code left, we'll message them right to you.
Yeah. And y'all can, if you're interested in that, seriously, you can be part of the development of this game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
And PC only, right?
Yes, I believe so.
So.
At least for the alpha, so we'll see what happens.
So, yeah, console people, you don't have to worry about all that mess.
But you know what console people do have to worry about?
What's that?
Is worry the right word?
Well, I guess not. They can get hyped about Rockstar showing off some new Red Dead stuff.
Woo-hoo. I know I am.
Oh. Yeah, a lot of people are hyped. I don't know yet, but I'm sure. Anyway, continue. Sorry.
Well, we talked last week about Rockstar setting up a date to show off some more information about Red Dead. And sure enough, they had a new trailer showed off earlier this week. A couple minutes. You know, we all watched it. Not much more information about the game. Got some new scenery stuff. What did you guys think?
I can't wait. I just cannot wait to get my hands on this game. I'm even more hyped. I've been watching YouTube videos of breakdowns of the trailer, and every time I watch it again, I get more and more excited, honestly. I can't wait to start lassoing people and putting them on train tracks again.
Well, this is the second game starring Warren from The Surge, and it looks like he's about to He's about to put in just as much effort into this one as the last one. But instead of wheelchairs, it's horses. Mm-hmm. Yeah, just another bad day for the janitor from Wings, the 90s sitcom. I'm just playing. It looks rootin' tootin'. It's all cowboyed up and stuff. I never played Red Dead Redemption. I was telling these boys before we started recording. I'm a little on the old side. So, like, I played Red Dead Revolver, and I didn't like it. And that's kind of what killed the rest of it for me. But, yes, I've heard from absolutely everybody. I think my mom texts me every now and then about Red Dead Redemption.
Now, Jacob, did you play your Red Dead today?
You'll never catch me. First of all, my mother is not.
I'm sorry. That came out like a 100-year-old lady. I'm sorry. I was trying to do a motherly voice.
The cell phone, the charging cable gets tangled in a rocking chair quite a bit. It's, it gets into the butter while she's churning.
I'm so sorry. That came out so bad.
Jacob, you'll never get your gamer score up if you don't get on that Red Dead, but she spells that D-A-T, so I don't know. It's a little different.
Right.
But I will say, as for nowadays, anything Rockstar puts out is kind of like, I don't know, just, you know, check it out. Like, fire? Yeah, what's up? Yeah, well, I mean, I don't know. I just know it's an event every time that's also backed with sales and fans. Even though I'm not on Grand Theft Auto 5 every day, I've played a little bit of it, and my life was just a little bit too busy for it at the time, that's all. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was rad, but, you know.
I think Rockstar, you know, has the ability to, you know, just build a huge world, you know, of such scale that not many developers can do, you know, at that level, which is so cool. Like, I'm not a big Western guy, but just knowing, you know, Rockstar's pedigree, and they're making a new one of these, and it's been delayed because they need to polish it up some more for another 6 months, you know, like, that's just, I know it's going to be awesome. You're not going to be able to deny this is going to be a, you know, top shelf game coming out next year.
Yeah.
And
to add on to that, Eagle, I'll say, like, the Rockstar is like these massive worlds that they make. At least what I've noticed that I'm impressed by all the time is like how you walk around and it feels like a real, like, living, breathing world, and just how everything kind of flows and works together.
They created the genre, if you think about it, man.
Yeah, for sure. But it's like Red Dead Redemption, it just, like, it was just kind of so fluid, like the wildlife works together, and just when you go into towns, it just feels genuine. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, it should be, you know, an awesome game. You know, fingers crossed that it doesn't catch too many more delays or anything. And
no hot coffee mods to get in the way.
Yikes, bikes.
I guess hot sarsaparillas.
There you go.
Hot stagecoaches.
Hot spurs.
Do you guys think you're gonna grab a copy?
Ugh. I don't know, man. You know, one of the things that's probably going to either sell me or not sell me is what the online structure of it looks like.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not an idiot. I see the success of GTA 5 online. You got to know that they've got to have an aspect of that for Red Dead Redemption 2.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just curious as what it's going to be.
And with that subject matter, how limited is it going to be? Mm-hmm. Like, I literally mean there's only so much you can do with guns and horses and a desert.
Yeah, like some of the, you know, appeal to Grand Theft Auto is grabbing a fast car and racing through the city kind of mindlessly for a while, you know.
Right.
And, like, I don't know what kind of horses they're going to put in here, but I don't see the same enjoyment.
Well, or make your roommates nervous with how many cops you seem to want to just drive around and kill.
Well, I'll say in the first one, they had, like, Red Dead Online. It was essentially GTA Online, but it was Red Dead. Again, I spent a lot of time in this game, and, like, on that one, I'll just say it was really silly, but if you would, like, work together and, like, do kind of, like, little raids in there with, like, a team, you can get, like, more points, and then essentially you could turn in your points for new horses, but it got, like, ridiculous. Like, you could have super fast donkeys, or you could get, like, a zebra or a buffalo to ride on.
Okay.
So that was pretty fun. That, like, a lot faster than, like, the regular mounts that you could get. So that was pretty silly to see somebody zipping across the desert on a zebra.
I've seen a zebra outrun a horse.
Right.
Many times.
Yeah.
9 times out of 10, the zebra's going to win that race.
Hey, you hear hooves, you think zebras, not horses.
What about the 10th time? Can you give me a breakdown of that race?
I don't know. I was looking for something in one of the many pockets on my safari shirt. It was a photo finish. I didn't see it. Anyway, so a little bit more news is Neo, Keanu Reeves himself, is coming to PC.
Yeah, he is.
In Woo! November.
Yeah. November 7th.
I am an Irish samurai. Yes, November 7th. Neo, yeah. I'm not dumb. N-I-O-H is the, I'm not going to say the, yeah, I'm not going to say that tagline that's been so hot right now. Yeah. But it's about samurais and swords and the difficulties of wielding those things digitally. And it is being ported. It was PS4 exclusively. I'm not trying to say Souls-like, okay? I'm not trying to say Souls-like. Oh, I'm broke. Anyway, it was PS4, and now it's coming to PC. Also with a complete edition with this DLC that I've actually heard a lot of good things about. A complete edition being released on the same day for PlayStation 4.
And this seems like the right setting for a Souls-like game, in my opinion.
Totally. I was almost flabbergasted that it wasn't on Steam when it dropped. I was like, oh, nice. I'm going to go home and download that. And I was like, why am I having trouble finding this? I'm probably misspelling it. No, sure enough, PS4 only.
Yeah, it was highly touted as one of the better hardcore action games this year. Mm-hmm. Looked fun, looked crazy difficult, weird enemies and stuff. You know, what do you think, Jake? Is that something that's on your to-do list?
Yes. Yes, and well, yeah. Yeah, totally. There's just a lot of stuff coming out. That's all. Yeah. There's just a lot of stuff coming out. And stuff I have to, I don't know. I want to spread it around, but Neo has so much personality that, you know, probably would be worth it.
Yeah.
I'm saying you know too much because I was caught off guard. Yes, I am intrigued, but we'll see. I might hold out till it's 40 or 35.
Yeah.
You know?
Fair enough.
Something like that. Maybe rent it, depending on how quickly I can get through it.
Go down to Hollywood Video.
Dip your toes in.
Hollywood Video.
Got any of them blockbusters left?
Well, what's funny is he says that, but there's a derelict one two blocks down from my house. No, seriously, it's overtaken by nature. It looks like a Halo 2 map. It's covered with vines with the Day After Tomorrow posters still in the window, and you look at it, God. You're just oh my gosh.
It's legit.
Oh, dude.
The it's last crazy. Of just us of
frozen
video
people. Just frozen people at racks in there. Will Smith talking to him please say hi to me. Please say hi to me.
Please
and I
just
run
legend.
Away. Please. Don't go to Redbox. Not sponsored. Do what you want.
Yeah. Okay. Life.
Moving on. Oh, and in the notes, I don't think any of us hit this out. 4K support. If that's a big deal, I'm sure that's a big deal for Neo. It's got stuff going on all over the screen.
Got a lot of gross, nasty stuff that would probably look even more grosser and nastier in 4K.
Mm-hmm. Mm, speaking of gross, nasty, Cuphead came out. That gross, nasty. Mixed reviews from the besties, though, from what I've gathered so far.
Well, man,
not
you
from
know,
the world, though.
I've watched a lot of Cuphead over the past couple days.
Yeah.
See, now I thought it was pronounced Kufeed because they just decided to just make up a word.
Yeah, that's fair.
But, you know, eventually I got it. Anyway, continue.
Well, I've been watching a lot of it over the past couple days, and boy, what a looker, you know?
Mm-hmm. Just
what a looker. Cuphead is one of the best looking games I've seen in a long time. The art style is so unique. It's so interesting to look at. All the little, animation details that have gone into it. But with that being said, boy, I don't know if I want to play this game.
Nope.
Not really.
It looks
at all.
So hard. It looks so frustrating.
Anxiety head.
Yeah. Oh, what do you think? Do you think the difficulty fits with that game, or
yeah, I think it'll be fine. It's just a lot of stuff on the screen.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah, you'll just synchronize and you'll be good.
It reminds me of like Mega Man X, like with the dash. Like you like dash on the ground or dash in the air.
Yeah.
But like more intense than Mega Man X.
See, I didn't see it play like a stoppy platformer like Mega Man. I saw more of like a Gunstar Heroes Contra kind of thing.
Yeah. Sure. Like, sure, totally. Again, I'm just saying like with
more
the dash R-type
than platform, maybe.
Yeah.
Like kind of Rocket Knight adventure-ish.
Okay.
But if anybody knows.
I don't know enough about Rocket Knight to dispute you.
Turn off your microphone.
Bye, guys.
See ya. You know.
Bye.
Yeah. I was watching, like, at one point, it seemed like there was, 15 different things on screen that could damage you at once.
Oh, man.
I was like, I don't know if my heart can handle this game.
It really looks like one of those games that you'll get in, like, that flow state. You're just, like, in it. Right. You know, like, yeah, just dodge, dodge, dash.
Just not even looking at the screen, but you're just dodging everything.
The numbers kind of bounced around a little bit, but as the last time that I looked, which was a few hours before we started recording, it came out the 29th, which was 2 days ago, right?
Yeah.
Where am I?
Three days ago?
What day is it? it's at approximately 125,000 copies on Steam sold. And that's what I said on Steam. It came out for Xbox, too. Mm-hmm. And I know Windows 10 is Xbox and whatever that is. But still, I don't have any numbers on any Xbox copies sold. But that seems like a lot for PC users.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very, big launch for the game, especially because it came out as a smaller studio.
Mm-hmm.
It's their first game, too, as a studio, which is, really awesome to see the game come out to such success. And rave reviews. Everybody says it's super hard and, soul-crushingly difficult, but they like it.
I think soul crushing is a little extreme.
I don't know, man. I saw some people raging out.
They're cups with smiley faces painted on them.
Mm-hmm.
I know, man. That's part of the allure. That's part
You're
of
right. I haven't played it yet. That's probably the whole thing.
All that being said, congratulations to Cuphead. Looks like it's seeing some success. I'm sure it's doing well on Xbox as well. We'll keep our eye on it.
No.
I'll probably try out Kufeed. Cuphead. It's the way I have it typed. I'm just playing. I'm doing it on purpose. A little bit more news as we kind of start rolling into it. It's wake up, wake up, wake up. It's been the first of the month. And we all know what that means. We get our issued games for our subscription services, respectively, for PlayStation 4 and for Xbox.
Woo!
I'll go ahead and knock out the PlayStation ones real quick because they're huge. If you are a PS Plus member, you get Metal Gear Solid 5 The Phantom Pain this month.
Whoa.
For free. Yeah, that's a big deal.
Go get that.
Do not
sleep on this.
Yeah, seriously, just do it because you never know. Like, there's something in there for nearly everybody unless you just take yourself way too seriously.
Now, can you imagine the person that just downloads this game because it's free and has never really heard of Metal Gear and... witnesses that intro?
We have a coworker that's going through it right now.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Some heavy stuff.
At the old traffic cone painting facility. Like, he's going through it for the first time. And we're like, what kind of mission? What mission are you in? He's like, oh, yeah, I'm like mission like 5, 6. I'm like, oh, dude, it hasn't even gotten weird yet.
Nothing.
Yeah, keep painting those cones, homie. We got none to talk about.
I know we've talked about the Phantom Pain a little bit before, and you guys, really enjoyed it. With it being free and, probably available to a much wider audience, do you think that this is a good place to jump into Metal Gear, or will it just be so, unintelligible?
Well, don't know.
So, this Phantom Pain being my first Metal Gear ever played, I feel like I can chime in on this. But I want to go back to something you said before. You go, like, can you imagine just, like, downloading this, not knowing what Metal Gear is at all, and then jumping in? I am envious for whoever that is. Seriously, when Jacob handed me his discs and said, go play this game, and the first hour, I was just like, what is going on right now?
Oh, my God. But
so confused, But then, I mean, I absolutely fell in love with this game. I've noticed, I've said it to length before, but seriously, it's so fantastic. But thankfully, I had Jacob to, you know, once we meet back up, I'm like, okay, what does any of this mean? And Jacob is obviously very versed in this, in the lore of these games, so he kind of like walked me through. But
yeah,
I mean,
he traded me Dark Souls information.
Yeah.
This seems like a back alley that I don't want to go down.
But like, I mean, I downloaded Dark Souls 1 because it was free with gold years ago, and I just randomly jumped into the world, and then I fell in love. That's how I was introduced to Dark Souls. So, yeah, please, people, don't sleep on this, man. Don't miss this game.
Metal Gear.
For sure.
Dude.
What was the other game else on PS4?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, also on PS4 is the Amnesia Collection, which is just kind of it's a collection of three games. It's kind of harkens back to, like, kind of those older PC click-and-go games, and this one's on the spooky side, solving puzzles and getting freaked out. And, some disturbing imagery on that. Can I put up a... Hey, while we were talking about that, I did remember I have a little bit more news that I guess I want to say on the air because I have a show.
Hit it.
I did find a copy of Demon's Souls for my PS3.
Yeah, you did.
And I am so hyped. Brent started talking about Dark Souls and all that, and I just can't help myself. But found that. My collection is nearly complete, save for like one DLC. I think I need to buy. Anyway...
Can you just pop that disc in your PS4 and that'll work?
No. But I still have my PS3. It's
heard.
Yeah. Yeah. It's mainly a Hulu Netflix machine. But but it'll still play some Shadow of the Colossus or Metal Gear Solid 4 every now and then. that's PlayStation for right now. Games with Gold. Why don't one of y'all take this one?
So on Xbox this month with Games with Gold, we've still got Oxenfree going on for a couple more weeks. We'll talk about that here in a little bit. My girlfriend and I played through that. Awesome game. Also, starting up, I believe, yesterday, was Gone Home. You guys familiar with this?
Oh, very familiar with this game.
Did you play through it, Brett?
No, but I've watched... probably like six different gameplays of it. I have not watched that much,
but I've watched it too. I'm crazy about the cover of the game. Like, my favorite color is purple. So, I don't know. Every time I see that, I always end up looking at it to see if it's on sale.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's got a real marketing spooky vibe for you. Marketing for you right there, guys.
Yeah. Anyway.
Get yourself a good thumbnail if you're making a game. It's important.
Yeah, for sure. We work hard on ours at Edgy Stances.
But I mean, I'll say real quick, you know, I've watched this game a bunch because... I just kind of stumbled upon it on YouTube, watched a guy's playthrough, and it just kind of took a twist that I didn't really expect. And I was just kind of trying to play along with him and kind of trying to figure out what's going on, because you're basically, it's a first-person game. You're in an empty house, and you're just kind of walking around the house, finding stuff, and really just figuring out where everybody is and what's happened here. And it's fantastic, man. It definitely has you on the edge of your seat until you kind of start to piece the story together here and there. And
as
then,
the story goes, you're an exchange student, right? That comes home. Nobody's come to pick you up or see you. You've been abroad for your semester, and your family's just not there.
Yeah.
And you got to figure out what happened.
Yep.
Kevin.
I'll say, playing through it, man. It seems If you get to the end of it, you'll feel pretty accomplished and sad.
Yeah. Well,
now
the games with gold,
Xbox is a little different. They started this thing where it seems like they have two and then they overlap into another two at the end of the month. It looks like, if I'm reading it right, the Turing test is going to be included that at the other side of this month.
No,
am I remembering correctly, Eagle? Is it the same creator for both of these games, or am I putting two together that are just kind of similar? Oh, Tacoma. Tacoma is what we were talking about.
Yes, yeah. Fulbright.
Pardon me, everyone.
Is the same developer for Gone Home and Tacoma, the game that was released, last month?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah, so kind of similar takes on the first-person story exploratory games.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
seems cool. But yeah, Gone Home, definitely plan on checking out that here in the next couple weeks. I'm excited.
Nice.
Yeah. Also, there is two Xbox 360 games, backwards compatible, that will be in Games with Gold. That's Rayman and what, Medal of Honor? Airborne?
Rayman 3 HD. Oh. Yeah, and Medal of Honor Airborne, which I lost track of. I'm sorry, I don't want to be disrespectful, but like I don't know. I lost track of those games. There's so many of them that came out. And I feel like Call of Duty was kind of the ones that ended up taking that ball and running with it.
Yep.
Yeah.
As far as the grenade on stick games go.
Jeez.
We wanted to have some news about this Fortnite Battle Royale mode. Wanted to stream it and roll with it, but raid. So, but at the same time, let us remind you real quick that for anybody who's been listening or reading anything on the internet having to do with gaming, you most likely heard of PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds going on right now. Hmm. On the PC, Battle Royale mode, jump from airplanes, have a lot of fun, giggle, shoot people, all that stuff. So Fortnite, copies. Fortnite made by Epic. Yeah, seriously, can't talk over that. Sorry, bud. That one hit me a little late. But yeah, killing it, right? So Fortnite, which Eagle, is made by Epic Games, am I?
Yes, you're correct.
Yeah. The Gears of War fellas.
Yeah.
And, yeah. Mm-hmm. Made by them, they have a battle royale mode that they I think the word is, do we want to say shameless? I want to be fair because of how hard we went in on Paladins
yeah
versus Overwatch a few months ago. But Fortnite battle royale mode is amongst, you know, many of the free modes that they're offering for this free game. Mm-hmm. And I've passed this information on along to a couple of friends, and they're loving it so far. Not only that, but we're seeing the streamers kind of spend a little bit of time over in Fortnite too. So we're going to hope, yeah, we're going to hopefully get some experience with that and come back with that next episode. Now that we finally knocked out the Leviathan and its pilot, the Emperor from Naboo in Star Wars, The Clone Wars. I mean, Kallus. We're just nice. Talking about Shameless. I don't know. Anyway,
it's fine.
so I didn't want to spend too much time on it, but we had it is what we have been playing, right, boys?
Yeah.
We got big news. We already did some overachievers. We'll let you know. Eagle told me 11. Is it 11%?
Yeah.
Have that
as
achievement.
Far as last night, yeah, 11% of people that own Destiny 2 have beat the raid on
Stand
Xbox.
Tall and be counted, boys.
Woo! Grow really? Fat from strength.
Oh, my goodness. Grow your relationship ties better because this is over with.
Dog, middle. Oh, God.
Oh, God.
Rekindle friendships with those closest to you. From strength. Oh my gosh, it was such a chore, but we're glad to have it out of the way. So Destiny talk, you know, we didn't want to go into it, but like I said before, it is what we have been playing this week, so we're going to share a little bit of this raid talk. Destiny is this is not the Destiny show. We were a little apprehensive about doing that, but then again, Destiny kind of comes in seasons, doesn't it, guys?
Yeah.
So like, we're going to try and just keep it to like kind of compartmentalized bits or whatnot when it becomes relevant. So, like, now that we beat this, it's not, you know, what Osiris is happening in December.
Allegedly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sorry. thank you for joining us today, Bungie attorney. best
Eagle
attorney
here.
Alive.
Yes, yeah. Don't worry about it.
I will hide behind this wastebasket.
Allegedly.
What a pro. anyways.
But, yeah, we're
going to
kind of...
Oh, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, like you were saying, you know, with a living, breathing MMO like Destiny, it comes in seasons. You know, we've, you know, come out the gate hot, you know, covering all the content, getting through it. And then, yeah, it's going to kind of be that roller coaster ride of dipping down until the next DLC releases. Everybody will jump back in. We'll figure it all out and, you know, probably taper off till the next one comes. And, you know, I think that's how we're going to try and cover it.
Eagle, real quick, let me run this by you. I was thinking about calling our Destiny segments Obsestiny.
I like it.
I don't, like, sometimes I like it. I thought of it a couple days ago in the shower where most of my thinking is done. And I was like, one second I think it's a great name. The next second I think it's like sounds like some kind of like stripper name.
Yeah, get your ones ready. Obsessed is about to hit the stage.
On the Nessus stage.
Oh, no. Here we go.
It's Obsestiny. No. Oh, man. Yeah, it sounds like somebody spends most of their time telling customers they get 2.5 minute Van Halen songs like everybody else. Mm-hmm. So, but then I come around to it and I'm like, that's a pretty good name for a bit.
That's fair.
Anyways, I guess we have a couple months to think about it. But as of right now, we've made it through. Eagles Xbox still works.
Jeez.
We almost lost him. Man. You were making me nervous, bud. You're usually a well of positive energy.
Picked up and moved to a shady like beach where I could just sit and think about things.
Where there's no internet and no raids.
Where there's no scions, there's no axes, suns, chalices, or dogs.
Yes.
And nobody will know about your aggravated assault against Scion's charges that you racked up in 2017.
Goodness gracious.
Oh, my goodness. This raid, folks. This raid. So you get, like, well, how are we going to get into it? Are we just going to say if we liked it? Are we going to give it sore thumbs up, sore thumbs down? Are we going to, like, talk about it? Like,
well, I guess if we look at it overall, how did you guys feel about the entire experience? Getting dropped off on the Leviathan. Fun. Yeah.
I thought it was fantastic, honestly. It was beautiful to look at straight away before you were going to be frustrated to the point of almost throwing your controller.
and then it was not fun.
Yeah, then it was not fun. But, I mean, honestly, like, I'll just say, like, the bathing ritual, that was not fun the first time we were in there. Mm-hmm. Once we got it down, I actually had fun playing that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Once you learn that this raid is more about you being a gear and not a gun, I feel like I had a better time in it. Because I get, like, performance anxiety. I haven't done the most raids in the world. And we all know how raids can get. And so I'm just sitting here like, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. And it's just, you know, after, you know, this Eagle, who will most likely use his words next, so I don't want to spoil what he's going to say. You know, he makes a good point about the way that this raid kind of sets you up. And I don't know. It seems like simple tasks that just take so long.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the way that I feel about it is this raid in general is overwhelmingly mechanical.
Yes.
You know, it's not about shooting your way through things. It's not about being powerful. It's about communication and about precision and executing as a team. And the one thing that I feel like this raid misses over all of the previous raids in Destiny 1 is that I don't feel like there's any chance or any moment in which one player or a couple players can, like, be the hero. Like, have the moment where they save the team or they, you know, save the day by doing something. Because, just like Jacob has said, it's everybody's whittled down to being a cog that makes this whole event, you know, happen.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, that's the one thing that I missed in this raid in general is, you know, nobody had that opportunity where, like, oh my gosh, Giggles saved the day with the Nova Bomb, or, you know, that bubble
saved
everybody.
What up, Colleen, again?
What up? But yeah, you know, it was more along the lines of when you beat an encounter, it was looking around at everybody like, good job. You did exactly what you're supposed to do. Good job.
Mm-hmm. You know, yeah.
There wasn't any of that, like, you know, surprise, heroic moments to emerge.
Right. Yeah, it did seem like it was kind of, I don't know, like, I did too much dead air. I set myself up for an adjective I hadn't formulated. It just seemed like it's been really just run into a groove.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, from, like you're saying, a bunch of people freaking out, which I freaked out. I had a great time, but this is, like, maybe my third or fourth raid. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know they're only like five all day though. So anyways, yeah. But yeah, you are right. Like, by the time you're through it, it's just communication exhaustion. Yeah. And
yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and what you really did when you finally got it done was not something that's going to be on the ESPN top 10. It's just going to be an instance where everybody happened to do their job. Yeah. So, like, if you were to watch a raid being performed, I don't really think it would be that exciting, because the best way you can do it is to just do what you're supposed to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think, you know, just imagine if you could get a bird's eye view of the gauntlets. That would probably just look like a synchronized swimming ritual, you know, with, right. You know, shooting to the left, shooting through the right, jumping through the hole, punching the scion, shooting to the left, shooting to the right, jumping through the hole, punching the scion. Like, it's,
yeah. And the days go by, go the red, and the blue. All right, sorry, dude, you got me going. Sorry, okay.
Yeah, but, you know, I don't want to sound down on it, because it was especially hard, and, you know, figuring out some of the puzzles and figuring out the ways to communicate with each other was really cool. Mm-hmm. You know, I would have liked to see some bigger environments, you know, a bigger scale. But it was really neat. I like the opulence of the palace look.
Yeah, the scale, I agree with you too. And this is just me personally reacting to it. You know, raids, as I know I've said in the past episode, they remind me so much of like a good game of Dungeons and Dragons, in the sense that, like, somebody's made a good story, good environment, super creative, stuff you've never seen before. Mm-hmm. You know, at a scale you haven't seen yet. And, you know, you see this gigantic ship, it's covered in gold, and, you know, alien Rick James starts talking at you, and then it turns out it's just four rooms shaped like a four-leaf clover.
Right.
Unity!
You know, and then that's kind of it. The underbelly thing is super sick. Mm-hmm. I thought that was most crunkish. That was awesome. Yeah. And especially figuring out how to open the doors, like, by myself, you know, all that mystery was great. But then by the end of it all, it's I don't know, because it, at the same time, I don't want to chase anybody away. You know, right. Eagle was getting on there trying to find people to help us go through the raid, like randos, you know, like, we got three. Where's three? And he was getting answers back immediately. And we beat it with strangers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, so, shout, you know, out to you guys, four,
we have and our standards, but remember, out there are only five raids out for this game franchise, period. Five over the course of 3 years.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yep. We are three of 11% to have this achievement, and it is 2 weeks after, wait, 2 or 3 weeks after it's gone live. 2 weeks?
The raid, 2 weeks, yeah.
Yeah, 2 weeks after the raid's gone live. Like, develop your own opinion, because we're obviously trying to knock it out, because we have a show and we talk a lot of S. So like, we wanted to have it done. But, you know, in scope of things, we're kind of ahead of it, like, because we really grinded against it. You know, you got plenty of time. It's going to be figured out. There's plenty of help online. You're going to be able to find friendly people that know exactly how to teach you how to do it, too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I just want to say that, like, you know, we're saying, like, you're definitely a cog in this grand scheme of machine. To you know, beat this raid, but, you know, once we figure out, you know, how the paths we need to take to, you know, get into each of the boss rooms, like, once we beat, like, the bathers, the dogs, like, the sense of accomplishment instantly as soon as we beat those was, like, overwhelming.
Oh boy, that's, like, what we do it for, that rush.
Seriously though, like, that's what I was looking forward to every time we went into a new boss room. Was, okay, let's do it. It's gonna be hell for probably a couple hours. We're gonna,
like,
figure
it
out.
Come on, boys, let's score. Like,
yeah, man. Like, but
let's get that endorphin rush. Once you yell at the end of the Kallus fight, you're like, I don't know about you guys, but I stood up.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, I don't know if you guys remember, we were on the last damage phase. And right before Kallus lifts his hands and, you know,
I know what you're
going to
talk about.
You know, everybody's like, move, move, move. And Carrie's standing on the plate like, I'm not moving. It ends now.
No. Carrie goes, I'm sorry, not to correct you. That's not the spirit of saying this. But he's like, no more moving.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
He's like, no more moving.
This ends now.
I was off the plate. I was
me too.
I was moving. I did not want to do this again. Yeah. But shout out Carrie. Thanks, bud.
Yeah.
But and yeah, that's but that 30 seconds y'all just heard us forget that we were recording a show and geek out with each other. That's what we come out here for.
You know,
and that's what these games are there for in the first place.
Yep.
And you know, just to further prove that example is, it's 3 o'clock in the morning last night. People are getting pretty short with each other. Nobody's talking. You know, the only thing that's coming over the mic is which scions to punch. You know, like that's it. And then we beat the boss, we go back to the tower, we get some cool loot, and then an hour later, we're all still in the party, chit-chatting, talking about what we're going to do next. You know, it's a complete 180 switch when you finally get through it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really a magical thing.
Even if the what are you going to do next talk is take a month off from Destiny.
Yeah.
Seriously, I mean, I still got pastrami to finish.
I don't envy you.
I don't envy myself. I don't know. I really like the game, but the eyes are just so big. it is hard to get into it. Like, no offense to anime fans or manga fans. But the story's good and it's a lot of fun to play. It's just whatever. So yeah, Destiny Raid. It's done.
Beat.
We grew fat from strength.
Dude, RIP, raid in past.
Yeah, we'll see you guys on Tuesday after reset.
Yep, and experience it all again. So that concludes this week's segment of Obsessedony. And this is where I would play the music. We talk about Destiny on Obsessedony.
I don't like it. I don't like it at all.
It's tonight. On me. Sell it.
We need to pivot.
When can we have it? All right. Speaking of pivot, we have a segment that we're going to kind of close out our topics this week. Sorry, I hear my dog suddenly going crazy in the background. We want to talk about a little bit about memorable games. Eagle had an interesting question in our just general forum board earlier this week. Hey, guys, do you have any games that you played in the past that have changed your perspective or life? He didn't say life. He just said change your
perspective. I meant it, though. You inferred correctly.
Yeah, so we all scratched our chins and said, in emoji form, and we came back today with our answers. And I don't know how we're going to do this, so we're just going to start. Eagle, you asked the question, so yeah, get us rolling.
Yeah, it was one of those things. I was kind of scrolling through my games library to look for a game to kind of kill some time, and, you know, we ended up playing Oxenfree. Corey and I did, and it was a super enjoyable experience. Kat recommended enough. We'll talk about it probably in a later episode a little deeper, but as I was scrolling through, I saw a lot of games that I have good memories of, some older games, and I had the thought of maybe talking about a game or two that really changed the way you looked at a game or opened up a genre to you that you hadn't previously messed around in. And one of my examples was The Witcher 3 came out a couple years ago. And I never played a Witcher game, didn't really know anything about it, but for some reason that game was in like my news cycle. Like, I couldn't escape it. It was everywhere. It was just trailers everywhere, pictures everywhere. And I think it was one of those things that was just the curiousness like overtook. I was just like, I need to see what it's about. And then like 120 hours later, I'm looking at the credits like, whoa, what a ride. Like, that was incredible. I'd never really been through a game like of that size and like that style before.
I needed two different swords.
Dude, it was like 15 hours in the game before I realized I could, like, there was a sword for
a ponytail.
My beard's growing the longer I'm out here.
I have cat eyes. No, I feel you, dude. You were on that one when it came out. I remember many a dirty cigarette break.
Yeah.
Talking about the complicated decisions that you had to make and which medieval squirrels you were going to get with.
Yeah, you know, it was weighty decisions. You know, it was the gray squirrels or the chipmunks. You can't mm-hmm. mess that up. Mm-hmm. You want the good ending.
And but a lot of people obviously kind of agree with you, because didn't it win Game of the Year?
Yeah, I think so. You know, depending on like what outlet you look at. But yeah, it was super high regarded. It's critically acclaimed. Yeah, it's an incredible game that, you know, it suffers from that. You know, it's going to take 20 hours for you to get invested into it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, you really got to sit in for the long haul, but it's so rewarding when you, you know, get through and see what your decisions actually do to the story. But yeah, it really changed the way I look at those, you know, giant RPGs. And, you know, now I'm looking through the upcoming games like, all right, which one is it going to be?
Yeah.
Where am I going to sink, you know, the next month into, you know, carving through a story? So, you know, it's super memorable to me, and I'm glad that, you know, it opened up a new, genre for me.
Mm-hmm.
Did you guys, have anything like that?
Yeah, for sure. I'll say, I believe I've mentioned this, on the podcast before, but, and Jacob, you actually mentioned this game earlier in this episode, Gunstar Heroes, that opened my eyes.
Hell yeah.
That opened my eyes, like, to me replaying a game over and over again to try to challenge myself in different ways or play the game differently, because in that game you could have certain different like elemental guns, and you could combine them into different weapon types, and they would, you know, have different attributes to them. So, like, you know, I would like challenge myself, like, oh, only have like a fire gun through this run of the game and beat it that way, or only beat this boss with, you know, certain elements, or, you know, just kind of constraints. And I mean, I'm saying this is when I was younger, and so I replay this game over and over again to really try to hone my skills and be as proficient as I possibly could with the game. I mean, I don't know how many times I've ran through that game, but if you guys haven't played it, I'm sure you could probably get it on a console or PC. It's a fantastic little game.
Yeah.
Nice.
That's interesting
too. I mean, you definitely should play it with a buddy.
Yeah, it's super fun with friends. And
I'm saying Cuphead looks just like it.
Yeah, I definitely see.
No, I mean, not in a bad way, just in like a concept way.
Yeah, I totally see what you mean. But yeah, like with that. But then I mean, I feel like I'm not going to be the anything special here. But obviously, Halo changed just how much I will give into a story and how far I want to know what's going on in this world. That started with Halo, really. I'm one to skip cutscenes, but I won't skip cutscenes in a Halo game, because I'm super invested in that universe. So
yeah, they backed it up too. I mean, that and this isn't like I've solved why you like it so much. I'm just saying, like, it's my opinion that when Halo was getting started, the internet had already, you know, developed to a point where it could be a tool, you know, with marketing, and they had all this extra content written up
and
you know, just a world to go double check everything beyond just that game that you were playing.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not one of mine, but I agree with you on Halo. It's funny because it's the opposite, because like Halo 2, well, Halo 1 with LAN parties, but then Halo 2 with the internet really opened up, like, online multiplayer.
Sure.
Was a big deal to me.
Yeah. Halo for me was, you know, important in introducing me to shooters and, you know, what a proper shooter, you know, could feel like, and you know, what a story in a shooter could be like, kind of setting the bar. But yeah, just like you, Jacob, Halo 3 was, introducing me to competitive multiplayer. You know, I played online with things before, and you know, that stuff was cool, but I had never been bitten by, like, a ranking structure like Halo 3 gave me.
Oh, man, they were were so stringent with that, too.
Did you not jump into Halo 2's online?
Yeah, a little bit, but it didn't bite me as hard as Halo 3's did. You know, I feel like
the structure of it game. Was... It was the console jump.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Went to 360, they could do so much more stuff on there.
Yeah.
But
I'm up there with, I mean, and Halo was the first shooter I could play that didn't make me sick. like, really? To my stomach too. Yeah, so yeah, it was kind of a big deal to me too, because yeah, it's where I discovered my inversion.
Aww.
Yep.
Damn you, Halo.
Sorry about that, buddy.
As far as like my answer to it, judging by y'all's answers, I think, I don't know, maybe I looked at it a different way, because I was just I like gaming because the respect for it that I have isn't necessarily that like I want to spend all my time playing a game. It's like not only that, but like working in them, like never to play one, but to create one is just as cool to me. Like it, if that makes any sense. So like a lot of like my answers that I have are ones that kind of literally have changed my perspective on what a game could do. And that's what I thought the question was. But I guess for like more of a regular-ish answer, I'll keep it short, but it's obvious. Dark Souls. That's it. That's all I'll say. that changed a lot for me. I've just come up with this answer on the fly. That changed a lot to me because it's so hard. It gave me a different way to deal with frustration. So that's why I had so much fun with the Leviathan raid. Is because I've come up with much, much, much worse now. So like, yeah, and it's tedious, but it's like not something to get mad at a game with, because another human being, yeah, we all lose our tempers, but end of the day, I don't have the heart to be mad at another person just because we can't run a ball right, you know. And like, you know, playing Dark Souls kind of helps me keep a lid on it, and you know, just understand that I have a lot more give before I start getting really frustrated with stuff.
Sure,
it also gives you a lot of practice in like self-critiquing and like, what did I do wrong and what can I do right to get through this?
Yeah.
Whereas before, I used to set things on easy mode because I wanted the story ride. I wanted the cutscenes. I wanted to get through the stuff to see the next cutscene.
Sure.
So, yeah. So Dark Souls helped me start getting my money's worth out of stuff.
Right. Yeah. Do you think like, not particularly Dark Souls, but like difficult games like Cuphead, do you think sometimes the developers make them difficult just to have a higher sense of accomplishment in the end?
I'm sure that is an essential element if it's in creating it. Like as far as, I don't know if they use psychology terminology when creating a game, but I definitely believe that in creating a game, that biscuit that you give a mind for working something out is a big part.
Yeah.
Of how those things are put together.
Mm-hmm. Right. And, you know, if Cuphead was easy and you could get through it in an hour, you know, would that be as enjoyable?
Right. No. You know, no. I would be like another game that got me for $20.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's $20 because it's 2 hours long. What do you expect? Not that any of them have ever responded to me.
I think that's the exact reason why, you know, difficulty settings are important. And tuning those right, I think, are important as well.
Yeah.
Indeed. Yeah, and not just about, like, how many bullets they soak up, but that's placement. You know, that's a whole... I truly believe there's a whole psychological department to creating a game.
Sure.
And totally. If you ignore that, that's the difference between, you know, just another indie title. And then... Anyways, moving on. My answers to like what you were saying was there are a couple of them that all came out on the PlayStation years and years ago. One was a game called Front Mission 3 by Squaresoft. It was about big robots and fighting on a grid. And that was the first time I'd ever played like a turn-based, like, you know, like small, like Final Fantasy Tactics. You know, you move one thing at a time on a grid.
Yeah, but the strategy style stuff.
Mm-hmm. The hook on this, though, is that you play through the game from the perspective of a brother or a sister, and then you play through it again from the other perspective. And levels are different, the story is different, and then it adds a whole new perspective onto the entire thing. And I had never encountered anything like that before, nor had I ever gone through and played a game again. Like, right after finishing it, because that's just not me. I don't play things twice. I want new, now. My ADD is restless.
Yeah.
And then, so I had never seen that before, and so... you'll hear us talk now about things, you know, a lot lately in like The Surge with replayability, things like that. That is a big deal to me now after learning that from that game years and years ago. Plus, they had this really cool internet system where you would have to dig into, it's not literally internet, it's just a whole lot of extra files where you would have to dig for extra context for the story and such. And it seemed like such a big thing at the time that it really blew my mind. Okay, so I guess we're going to go into our next segment here. Eagle does it every week. It is what we like to call overachievers. Take it away, Scott.
Yeah, so with kind of what we were talking about, memorable games for us, looking back a little bit, we decided to go ahead and pull the achievements for Halo 3. Got some good tasty ones in here today, boys. Each week we take a look at a game's achievements on our segment Overachievers. We like to look at some of the most common ones, some of the rarest, and maybe some of the most interesting ones we could find. So kicking it off with Halo 3, we'll take a look at the most common achievement unlocked, which was Landfall, to complete the first mission of the campaign.
Man, this is really digging in the crates here. This is... Holy buckets, I'm looking at this list and like... Anyway, Landfall, completed the first mission.
44.98% of players.
What? That seems insanely low to me.
I didn't play campaign in Halo 3 till quite a bit after starting to play it.
But ever, though? Like, you... I feel like you should have at least played it at some point.
Well, I first got it as a beta. It came with Crackdown.
Yeah. That's
So you only had multiplayer. Yeah. So that's pretty much all I really needed.
Yeah. Yeah, very true. But yeah, so 44.98% of players started the campaign. And the next achievement we'll look at is Campaign Complete Normal. So that is to complete the campaign on the normal difficulty. So we dropped down to 22.28% of players.
Wow. See, I am in there, though.
Yeah?
I played it. I finished it.
All right. Be a statistic. I hear you.
I am. You're not?
No, I'm there.
So I'll say the Halo games, I've always played them on Legendary just to get these achievements, because I know if I play on Legendary, I'll unlock all the, you know, complete on Heroic, Normal achievements all in one swoop. And it's awesome to see like a 300 point gamer score dump on the bottom of the screen when you beat the game.
Yes. It's like, ba-dink, yeah. Ba-dink, ba-dink. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wait, what makes that happen?
If you play it on the hardest difficulty, it will unlock everything under it. You know, so.
Oh, got you. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Got you. I was wondering what that was about.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I looked at the next step up from normal, which was heroic, and that was completed by 11.83% of players. Did the campaign on the heroic difficulty.
Damn.
Well, I was like all perfectly cut in half. 44, 22, 11.
And I think Legendary was around 5%. I don't have the exact number, but I think that was right where I was at. So it keep the trend
legendary
going.
Legendary was tough for Halo 3.
Yeah, it was.
Mm-hmm.
But so, like Jacob said, Halo's definitely renowned for its multiplayer. So looking at some of the multiplayer achievements, one of the most common ones was Graduate. That was to graduate from basic training. Stick with it to earn your Spartan insignia. Can I make a note real quick and say that I miss the old days where they used to give you a little, like, head nod in your achievement data? Like, stick with it to earn your Spartan insignia.
Yeah.
That's so cute.
Yeah.
But so 37.79% of players graduated from basic training. That's pretty much playing multiplayer at all.
Yeah.
You'd get that. So, yeah, about... half the players play multiplayer, half the players play campaign. But
that's strange. I thought a lot more people were on this.
Yeah, I would have assumed higher.
It's
as well.
It's just a weird number to see for multiplayer, because I mean, if you're there for that orientation, like, shouldn't you get your apron and hat?
Yeah, I feel like it would have been a higher number, for sure.
I mean, who doesn't? Whatever.
I don't know. Like, I was kind of thinking like. But, like, Halo 3, like, just that name, back in the day when it first came out, like, the first year it was out, was such a, had such weight behind it. I feel like people just bought it because they're like, oh, I've heard of that, and then just not even really play it, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Yeah. Building on top of that, do you think these could be skewed by the Master Chief Collection?
I believe that files under a different game. It's got its own achievements.
Yeah.
Okay. Because yeah. I was going to say, like, if you bought that, you turn on Halo 3, I was like, oh, it was great. Yeah, sure enough.
It's yeah,
Halo
I remember
3.
This.
It's not my favorite, though, so back to whatever Halo. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you'd started it and then didn't. Whatever.
Maybe. Deep dive. I doubt that it works like that, but I don't know how it runs on the back end. I think it's its own.
Well, good, because it shouldn't.
Yes. You remember the used car salesman achievement?
I sure do.
That was a good one. That was to destroy a vehicle that has 3 enemies in ranked multiplayer. So, blowing up that Warthog, getting him down.
If I got that rocket launcher first, I didn't care if I got 3 kills by the end of that game. I was waiting for that Warthog.
Yeah.
Just cruising around Valhalla, slipping up.
Cruising down Valhalla in my Warthog.
But, yeah, the used car salesman achievement unlocked by 29.68% of players. So, higher number than I would have thought, to be honest.
Yeah.
But, looking at the overkill achievement, Halo's very well known for its double kill, triple kill, overkill, killtrocity, kill your mama.
Which, end of the day, those are all unreal calls, right?
I have no idea.
Like a play on them, yeah. Like,
did they do call out medals like that?
With yeah.
That
yeah, like overkill and double kill. And
unfriggin' believable.
But, so for those of you not familiar, an overkill is to kill 4 enemies within 4 seconds of one another. Got to do it pretty quick. But this achievement was for ranked free-for-all specifically. Which was
where you're just your own person, right? Your own dude.
Yep. No teammates. I think it was 8 players in a lobby, first to 25.
Yep.
But yep, that was unlocked by 5.81% of players. So
I feel like I've got that right.
Yeah, I feel like I'm up there.
I feel like I'm the best in the world.
Yeah,
I feel like I'm the 0.79.
So another thing that Halo was really known for was its skulls. And one of the interesting things on their Mythic map pack was they actually added skulls to the multiplayer maps.
Yeah.
Which, you know, they hid them out through the campaign maps, but adding them to the multiplayer maps was pretty cool. So the Mythic map pack included Sandbox, Orbitable. Oh my goodness, Orbitable. Man,
you're gonna Obsessity's make me make the got heart my tongue. Joke.
Yeah,
Obsessity.
No, the Mythic maps were Sandbox, Orbital, Longshore, Heretic, Citadel, and Assembly. Which Heretic was the only one that matters. I don't care what you have to say.
Agreed.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, this achievement was the Vidmaster Challenge, Brain Pan. Which was to find all the hidden skulls on the Mythic maps. That was completed by 5.47% of players.
Mm-hmm.
Which, whew, some of those were tough. I remember the Assembly skull in particular was just, there was a specific point of the map you had to jump off and like fall on a little ledge. It was ridiculous.
See, I feel like all the stuff in Destiny 2 is not as hard as those skulls were in Halo.
Yeah, they were so obscure. Just so random. But that brings us to our rarest achievement in Halo 3. That is the pull achievement. And it's pretty specific. You got to be on Citadel and get a shotgun spree during a ranked or social multiplayer match.
That didn't seem too difficult, though, right?
This was the first one where they did the different kind of sprees, right?
Yeah.
Sniper spree, shotgun spree.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And
sword spree.
I think the tough one with Citadel is the shotgun only spawns with, what, 5 or 6 shells in it?
So, oh, dude, I can't even remember.
You pretty much got to have a perfect round with it.
Right.
But, yeah, so to all of you guys that have the pull achievement, you know, shout out to you overachievers. That one's a tough one, and I'm sure it's going to get tougher and tougher the older these games get.
Yeah.
Indeed.
Mm.
Well, boys, I think that's a show.
Put a bow on her. Wrap her up.
I think that's all of that. So, We are the besties. Hey. Best stands for Bloodshot Eyes and Sore Thumbs Podcast. That's a show that you just listen to. We record every week. And we are Edgy Stances. Mm. You can find us at our website, edgystances.com.
Yeah. Or, like I said earlier, Instagram, Twitter. We've still got some Project 1v1 keys for PC. So be sure and leave a comment on one of those posts. And we'll send you one if we still have them.
Join our Destiny clan if you want to pull your hair out with us, I guess. If you guys need the nice. The raid beat, let us know. Yeah. We'll help you guys out.
You guys still have hair left to pull?
If you're not into clans, you can be into grams and find the Instagram. I almost said Instaclan. The Instagram that is / edgy stances. Twitter is at edgy stances. Talk to us. Let us know what you would like us to cover. Give us a shout out. Give us an idea for overachievers. Give us a back rub. I don't know. Give us a rating. Give us a review. That would be hella tight.
Give us beef jerky.
Dude, that would be most ungnarly if you would do that. Yeah. And, remember, above all, to stay ambered.
Goodbye.
You guys have the best day you've ever had.